We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome in. It is the Bill Michaels Show here on a hump day Wednesday. I'm Radio Joe Zenzola. No, you do not hear the sound of Bill's voice. It's okay. He's running a little late. He'll be here in just a little bit. So I'm holding down the fort. Been asked by the boss to just talk for a little bit while Bill comes in, so everything's good. But there is a lot to talk about today, and we are jam-packed. We are just bookend with guests all the way down. We're going to have Paul Menard, NASCAR driver from Wood Brothers Racing, Wisconsin native. He's going to be coming on here in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to talk to Jim Polzin of the Wisconsin State Journal today. Get his thoughts on the Badgers as they go up to the barn to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers in a rematch. And hopefully the Badgers don't play as bad as they did in the first half against the Gophers like they did the last time. Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, making his debut in 2019 to discuss the ridiculousness of Major League Baseball and the rules. Yeah, we'll get to that, and I know Bill's going to have some strong thoughts on that as well, but Seth Everett will join us today. He'll give his take. Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider for The Athletic, he will preview tonight's game between the Bucks and the Wizards and discuss whether or not this Bucks team will make a trade between now and tomorrow's NBA trade deadline. We saw some trades go down yesterday, one of which Tobias Harris, former Buck, drafted by the Bucks. He's been moving around the league now. Playing for what is like fourth or fifth team. He's a really good basketball player, though. He got traded yesterday from the Clippers over to the 76ers. So now that team gets even stronger as the race for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference continues. So there was a big trade that went down yesterday. Tobias Harris going to Philly. But we'll talk with Eric Name coming up. Also, Paul Imbach, our Green and Gold analyst, makes his appearance on Wednesday. And yeah, we'll talk about those New England Patriots one last time with Chris Price of the Boston Sports Journal a little bit later on in the show. But yeah, a lot to discuss today. We've got a big topic, too, that we want to get into. And, you know, Bill, for those that weren't paying attention last week, Bill Michaels interviewed a lot of Packers, both former and current guys. He talked to Aaron Jones. He talked to Jamal Williams. He talked to fullback Danny Vitale. That's right, the Packers do have a fullback. Danny Vitale, got to know him a little bit. He talked to former players like James Jones, who is now big time at NFL Network, and he keeps in close touch with Aaron Rodgers. We saw Bill talk to A.J. Hawk. We caught up with him a little bit, got his thoughts on the Packers and his playing days. And then we talked to a couple of former players that some of you just don't like, Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley. And I get it. I get a lot of you don't like them because of what they've had to say about this Packers team over the years. I get that it bothers you when they're constantly ripping guys like Aaron Rodgers or Mike McCarthy or whoever it may be. But both of those guys last week said some things that perked up my ears, at least. And they perked up Bill's ears. So before you rush to judgment today, we're going to play back some of the things both of those guys had to say. And we want to know if you're going to take any stock into it. JerMichael Finley talked about everything. He talked about Rodgers. He talked about the chemistry, how long it took to have the chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. He talked about the tight end situation. He said something I think a lot of you would probably agree about. But we'll have for that coming up. And Greg Jennings, on the other hand, Greg Jennings, the entire interview on Radio Row last week was centered on Aaron Rodgers. And it wasn't centered really on Aaron Rodgers and his attitude or Aaron Rodgers and his saltiness towards Greg Jennings or Aaron Rodgers talking smack about Greg Jennings behind his back or Greg Jennings talking smack about Aaron Rodgers. None of that happened. Greg Jennings gave an honest assessment of what Rodgers looked like on tape. If you were listening to the show yesterday, we had Greg Cosell on from the NFL Matchup Show on ESPN and NFL Films. He joined Bill on Radio Row. He gave his assessment of Aaron Rodgers. Now you're going to hear a different assessment from Greg Jennings. And you know what? When I heard that from Greg Jennings, I didn't really have a problem with it. So again, before you rush to judgment today, you're going to take a listen to what both of these guys had to say about the Packers, and then we'll want to hear from you. We'll want to hear from you about it. Because I think it is a really good discussion. You can't rule out everything both of those guys say. And I understand. There have been some things over the years that they've said where I go, man, just shut up. You just have an axe to grind. But I thought there were some more honest things about what they felt about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers that I think need to be shared. And I don't think it's that bad. So we've got that coming up as well. Some other things that have been going on around the sports world. Last night, Marquette, they took their fourth loss of the season. They fell to St. John's. And St. John's just had their number. I mean, I don't know really how to slice it. I mean, Marcus Howard is an outstanding basketball player for Marquette. And he really has developed here over the last couple of years. And we've seen him have just some amazing nights. We've seen him break a record with scoring. Marcus Howard had 17 points last night, but it took him 17 shots and some trips to the charity stripe in order to get that done. When Marcus Howard is not on, this Marquette team is probably going to have a hard time winning basketball games, and that's just going to be the reality of it. This Marquette team is very good. They're very young, very talented. They've got the Hauser brothers, who have also been a pretty big impact. I'm a big fan of Theo John inside, but this Marquette team, I feel, when it comes to tournament time, it all hinges on what is Marcus Howard going to do. If Marcus Howard's going to get into a shooting slump, Marcus Howard's going to go 0-for-6 from three-point land, they may not be getting on to the next round. And this Marquette team, I think, has Sweet 16 written all over them. By far, they should be able to get to the Sweet 16. I think it's now or never for Wojo, because I think a lot of Marquette fans, and some of you that have been paying attention to Marquette, kind of time for them to do something. Wojo's been here for a while now. So I think people are expecting some big things out of Marquette. A little unfortunate, though, they lost to St. John's last night by one. That's the second time they've lost to St. John's. But on the flip side of things, I think Chris Mullin's doing a good job over there with that basketball program. St. John's is a good team, and they could be very pesky for them in the Big East tournament as well. So it's not the end of the world. You know, Marquette may drop a couple of spots, but I don't think it's going to be critical for them. And as we said before, the Badgers, they're going to take on Minnesota tonight as the Badgers continue to keep up their winning ways. And it is kind of funny because just not too long ago, a lot of you were starting to question whether or not Greg Gard was going to be the guy here for the future of the Wisconsin basketball program. And now all of a sudden, ever since that was questioned, this Badgers team's been on a little bit of a winning streak. It's really hard to figure out what this Badger basketball team is. I really have a hard time trying to decide. But I'll say this. I am not someone that thinks Greg Gard should be on the hot seat this year. And, you know, it is tempting at times when you have some bad losses, when you have some awful first halves, when you get into these stupid shooting slumps of 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes, when you got guys that can't hit free throws, and that's not just Ethan Happ. You know, those are some of the growing pains. When you value possession so much, like the Wisconsin Badgers do, and then you can't even get a shot up because you allowed a turnover to happen, and then you fill the majority of the shot clock trying to make something happen and send results in a turnover, it's not good for Wisconsin. But they have been playing much better basketball as of late. They've beaten some good teams, and they're going to be tested again tonight on the road against Minnesota. And then you got Michigan coming up. And then you got Michigan State coming up. All big tests for the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, for those that don't know, I am a golfer. I love to golf. And there were a couple of golfing things that I noted the other day. One of which was Aaron Rodgers will be playing this week. at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am alongside Jerry Kelly, who now plays on the Champions Tour. He is also a Wisconsin native. And Aaron Rodgers a couple of weeks ago wanted this particular golfer to play alongside him. A golfer that you may get to know if you do turn on the TV this week and watch a little golf. His name's Ho-Sung Choi. And Ho-Sung Choi plays over on the Asian Tour. He's won a couple of times, but what's really unique about Ho-Sung Choi is he is one of the most bizarre golf swings out there, where as soon as he makes contact, his foot leaves the ground and it's like he runs away from the golf ball. It is one of the most unorthodox swings, but this guy's won tournaments. So he's going to be playing in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am alongside Aaron Rodgers, who had requested it on Twitter, and Jerry Kelly as well. I'm looking forward to that. And for those of you that have been going out to Madison the last couple of years for the Champions Tour event that they do, word got out, John Smoltz, Hall of Famer, baseball. Well, he turned pro, and John Smoltz is going to be in the field in Madison coming up here in, what, end of June, I think? Yeah, end of June. So John Smoltz is going to be golfing with already a really big field that includes guys like, you know, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, Vijay Singh, so on and so forth. But I thought that was really cool. So there you go. That's pretty much everything. We've covered it. Basketball, of course, we've got the Bucks tonight taking on the Wizards. Marquette falling last night. The Badgers going back at it tonight. And just a lot of stuff to get to today, including Paul Menard. Paul Menard, NASCAR driver, is going to be joining us coming up next. And to interview him will be the man himself, Bill Michaels. That's coming up next here on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. I'm glad to be here. Tell you more about that coming up a little bit later on. This portion of the program brought to you by Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, the Make It Better Foundation, supporting Wisconsin high school senior athletes in their dreams of continuing education. Seniors, right now, listen up. You can apply to win up to a $7,500 or $2,500 scholarship, along with a trip to the exclusive Wisconsin Sports Awards event in Milwaukee. Don't miss out on this VIP experience. You can enter from February 1st through February 28th at cousinsubs.com/scholarship. That's cousinsubs.com/scholarship. Cousin Subs, believing in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We are getting ready for the Super Bowl of NASCAR right around the corner. And it's one of those things where you start, I mean, we see some golf and you see it over in Hawaii or in Dubai. You're getting ready for the Pebble Beach Pro-Am coming up this weekend. But when you finally put it back in the middle portion of the state, or at least the southern portion of the state, and you start talking about the Daytona 500, it's always kind of the rite of passage, so to speak, right after Super Bowl. Paul Menard, NASCAR driver for Wood Brothers Racing, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, doing all right. How's it going up there?
I'm doing well. Are you anxious?
No, not anxious. Just ready to get going. You know, it's been a good off season. Putting the final touches on our Ford Mustang today, and should be loaded up here in a few hours, heading down the road.
So the rules changes. Now I'm reading. I'm not a NASCAR aficionado in the sense, but I'm reading that violations lead to disqualifications rather than points and such. Is this something that's sitting well with drivers?
Yeah, I mean it's as long as they police the sport the way it should be policed, which is if. You know, if there's a car that's illegal, throw them out. I think we're all good with that. You know, there's some gray area to that rule where, you know, we kind of are in a contact sport. So especially these plate tracks where we're bunched up, you know, for 3 or 4 hours, we're all inches apart. You'll have some fender damage. Some of the short tracks, you'll certainly have some fender damage. And NASCAR does a pretty good job of taking that into account, but. Bottom line is if the car is illegal, they get thrown out, and I think that's a good thing.
I found it interesting as well. They're banning drivers from betting on racing. I would assume that would have already been a rule that was instituted.
Yeah, so I'm not a bettor. I'm not a gambler, so I don't really know how all that works. But I know that with the the gambling laws, I guess, are opening up and. You know, you can bet on NASCAR, you can bet on the sport outside of Las Vegas. They're worried about insider, you know, betting or doing things to compromise the sport. So, with good reason. It doesn't apply to me because, you know, I'm not going to put any bets on anybody in the NASCAR or any sport for that matter. But it's a concern for sure.
The off season, did it seem longer? There was nothing really big. I mean, we just got a couple of announcements with rule changes, but there was no big. This is quiet off season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like it was fairly quiet. A lot of the driver swapping and things happened last fall, so there wasn't a whole lot of news. There's no spontaneous retirements like Carl Edwards did a couple of years ago or anything like that. But our off season's is short. It's essentially 2 months long. The drivers definitely get more time off than the crew members do. The crew members are still rebuilding pit equipment, rebuilding race cars, and it seems like every year getting ready for Daytona, you have basically 2 months to get things refurbished and ready to go. But the last week leading up to it, it's a fire drill, just getting everything done, the final details. It's almost like it sneaks up on you.
What was it like losing Glenn Wood?
Well, it was a big hit to our sport. I got to spend some time with Mr. Wood last year, my first year driving with Wood Brothers Racing, and got to spend a little bit of time with him and his wife Bernice, and just great people. And he had a downward slide from about summertime last year through the holidays, and we lost him in January. So 93 years old, and his mind was as sharp as it could be. He was, when I spent some time with him, and last time I saw him was in October, knew everything about what was going on with the race team, about the sport. It's just his body was failing him.
The sport itself has lost some of its names in the sense of retirements, guys shifting, getting out of the Xfinity series. There's a lot of shifting going on and a lot of names moving around. Where is the sport right now?
Well, I mean, it's there's a lot of young guys coming in. There's some old guys leaving. We've seen in the last few years with Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Those guys retiring, but there's these young kids that are coming up and they're really good. They have a lot of energy about them. Something I don't get into is social media, but they're all about it. They broadcast pretty much every moment of their life, and there's some young guys that you could really latch on to if you're a young NASCAR fan and wanted to cheer for somebody. So I think the sport's in a pretty good spot. We have some new rules changes this year, which is going to change the way that we race, and it's new for everybody. We're going to learn as we go. It's ultimately up to the fans to decide if it's a good direction or not.
It's a interesting dynamic. You get football players that'll play until they're 40 and they're playing with 22, 23 year old guys. You're racing with guys like that at the age. What are you, about 37, 38 or something like that now,
yeah,
if I read correctly?
38, younger than Tom Brady.
So you're saying you got some championships left in you?
That's right.
By the way, we're talking with Paul Menard of the Wood Brothers Racing, and everybody knows Paul in this area. But how have you seen the sport progress or regress?
Well, it's changed a lot since my first full season in the sport was in the Busch Series at the time in 2005. Ran some part-time stuff in 2003 and 2004, but 2005 was my first year full-time in the series. And it's just evolution. It's kept up with technology, right? 2005, cell phones were around, but they're nothing like they are today. Computers were big, clunking, slow. Everything's changed from the technology standpoint, where in everyday life, plus in racing, computers are more, they're quicker. We can run simulation on computers. What might take you a week to get a product out of a computer now takes you, just a couple hours. So a lot of our setups and things are derived from computer simulation, where, 15 years ago it was just notebooks, past history and looking at your notes and what worked last time, what doesn't work this time. Making a thick notebook, literally a spiral notebook of notes. Now everything's just on the computer screen.
Talking about some of the changes in that particular sense, I was reading a quote from Kurt Busch that called this the most significant changes to the Cup cars since the 2007 rollout of the Car of Tomorrow. Has the car changed that much? I know there's a lot of testing going on out in Vegas.
Yes, it's changed a lot. I'd say it's changed more than going to the Car of Tomorrow in 07. The Car of Tomorrow didn't really change how we raced it. It was a goofy looking car. You know, the aesthetics of the car weren't very good, but it was much safer. They definitely put in a lot of safety advantages at the time that we still have in our cars with door foam and the way that the center section, the roll cage, and everything's built. A lot of that still carries over, but what we have this year is still an extremely safe race car. Relatively for the speeds we're going, but the aero package is a lot different. We're going to be more bunched up, a lot closer racing when the tires are good. We did a test in Las Vegas last week where we were three wide a lot of the time and even four wide at a couple different times with 12 cars doing a test session. So you'll see a different type of racing at a lot of tracks this year. Again, good or bad and different, that's up to the race fans.
Before I let you go, with all the changes going on, and the sport itself has gone through some changes as well, as you have kind of mentioned here, but I wanted to ask you about the racing itself. You talked about being able to go three, four wide. They're trying to keep you a little more bunched up. The sport itself changed. I mean, I remember the days that I could always flip through to NBC, CBS, Fox, or ABC, and there it was. And you get it for a little while, and it goes to cable sports networks, and sometimes it's tough to find. Has that, the money may be there, but has that hurt the viewership overall, do you think?
For me, I'm in the car, so I don't watch a race broadcast, but I have heard from a lot of people, ask what channel is it on, or I didn't see it last week. It wasn't on network. It was on some cable channel that I don't get. So, I know like NBC really wants to push their sports network and they're hoping that race fans will want to buy the package that allows them to watch the race on Sunday. So, it's a marketing tool for them. They're pushing their networks. I agree. Back in the day, you could flip on network, and watch the race. And, today you can't.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, before I let you go, I got to ask you about the way Packers have gone this off season as a guy that follows them and loves them. I just wanted to ask you about your thoughts on your Packers.
Well, I'm hoping for the best. I don't know much about LaFleur. I know he's a young offensive-minded guy. Like, Sean McVay's done great things with the Rams, with a young team. Hopefully Rodgers and LaFleur can come up with some good game plans to throw the ball down the field and score touchdowns. So, I have high hopes for it, Aaron's not getting any younger, but I still think he's one of, if not the best quarterback in the league to make things happen and make big plays and just get the ball moving. So hopefully they hit it off. I've high hopes for him.
High hopes and high expectations, hopefully. Paul, we look forward to watching you all season long. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us. We certainly appreciate it, and best of luck to you. Stay safe, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, pal,
appreciate
talk to you later. There you go, Paul Menard. He drives for the Wood Brothers Racing Team, part-time for a while in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, driving the number 12 Mustang for Team Penske, and a lot going on with Paul Menard, but joining us as they get ready for the Daytona 500 on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com. When we come back, if you didn't get a chance to hear it last week, I want you to take a listen to it this week. There was Greg Jennings, Jermichael Finley, both from Radio Row. Some of you that do hear it, you want to poo-poo it. I want to talk about why. Coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Hey, a note right here in our own backyard. I don't have all the details, but I know it broke. This is kind of the newsman in me, but there was a police officer that was shot, a tactical officer, I believe, Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, at a tactical situation earlier today. Anyway, I just kind of keep that in mind. I mean, you hear about it every now and then, and it doesn't happen very often, unfortunately, in our own backyard. It has, more so than you'd ever want to see it happen. And, man, keep in mind the brave men and women that go out there and try to do the job that none of us really want to do. So, just a note there for you. Going to hear from both Greg Jennings and Jermichael Finley coming up here momentarily. Now, the one thing that I wanted to get to prior to that, and we'll talk more about this, but Stanley Johnson of the Detroit Pistons has been traded to the Milwaukee Bucks for Thon Maker. So a deal goes down today, not a big one, but a deal goes down today. So the Thon Maker experience in Milwaukee is over. The Pistons, they gave up Stanley Johnson. In return, the Pistons side of things, they're saying they're getting an exciting raw prospect and that Thon Maker's length is second to none. He can make the quote, T-Mac jump now that he's no longer in the shadows of Giannis. Stanley Johnson can come in and help this team and be obviously another solid bench depth player. But anyway, that being said, we'll talk more about this coming up here in a little bit, but the Pistons and the Bucks do a deal where Stanley Johnson comes to Milwaukee and Thon Maker goes to Detroit. So we'll get into that coming up here momentarily. In the meantime, we were on Radio Row last week, and one of the questions that floated around, we were talking to many different players, coaches, things like that, about the Green Bay Packers and about, you know, kind of what you need to do to get off on the right foot and, you know, talk about the assessment of Aaron Rodgers and the play last year. This was Greg Jennings, I think, as honest and as open and as just straightforward as you can possibly be. Take a listen.
The focus always is going to be on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, because you have arguably one of the most talented, gifted quarterbacks that has ever played at that position. And he has such a unique skill set. You're going to focus solely on that. And here's my issue there. Aaron Rodgers has become so good that it sometimes hurts. It hurt Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, everybody talk, and I've been critical of Mike McCarthy and his lack of innovation and creativity and just his lack of continuing to kind of be that play caller from start to finish. He'll sometimes fall off if he has a lead. But a lot of that is on Aaron Rodgers. And this is why I say it's on Aaron, because Aaron, what people don't understand, he doesn't like the bunch formations. He doesn't like the clusters, because he wants the defense to be spread out. He wants, give me my regular personnel, two wides, split them out, so my cadence, I can then now see what are they disguising. I can get set. I don't want a whole bunch of motion. If you know, the Packers have never been a heavy motion team. Even when – never a heavy motion team, and a lot of it was predicated on Aaron Rodgers. He didn't really care for that, because he wanted to make sure, okay, the defense is set. I'm going to get them to show what I need them to show, so I know exactly where I need to go.
How does he do that? Because without motion and picking, say, the Mike linebacker or picking the coverage, how does he do that?
Well, you see, when I say the lack of motion, it's typically the lack of wide receiver motion.
Okay.
They'll have the tight end's motion from side to side or shifts.
Yeah.
He'll deal with that, where they can reset, get set, and then I can do my thing. But it's never you very seldomly see the Packers motion a guy and then the ball is snapped right away.
Right.
Because he wants everybody to be set, and he can then everything. There's no gray area any longer for him. When you cluster, when you have bunches, defenses can disguise their look a lot longer, because they don't have to cover so much of the entire field.
Right.
They can kind of box you in. Aaron hated that. And so that kind of stunts a coordinator's ability to be creative if he's limited with formations because of the request of arguably one of the greatest guys to be under center.
So I then asked him about whether Rodgers is going to be able to, with, because he knows Aaron. He knows what Aaron thinks and how he thinks and, you know, maybe the ego or not ego that he has. I wanted a little bit of insight. So I said, you tell me whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to come in and right away work with the new head coach, Matt LaFleur.
I thought the coaching change was very interesting. I like it. I don't know if I love it yet. And the reason why I say that is I have to see LaFleur in – no one's dealt with an Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, let me ask you this. I've had people tell me, okay, nobody wants to go on record, but they'll all come over and start talking to me. And some coaches, former coaches, I've had some people on the inside, they've come over and some have said, it'll be great. It's a young voice. They'll be on the same page. Aaron can relate. I've had other guys come over and go, I don't want any part of that. I've heard he's difficult. He's uncoachable. He tries to be the smartest guy in the room. I don't want any part of that. You tell me.
Well, the where I lean is LaFleur is going to have to initiate everything. He's going to have to make sure he earns Aaron's respect versus it being the opposite. Aaron's going to earn his respect. And it seems odd, but when you've ascended to being arguably the best quarterback in the game, outside of a Tom Brady and what he's been able to do, obviously, statistically and with Lombardi trophies, you've kind of earned that right. And to have a younger voice come in that is going to be able to relate and humble themselves and say, you know what, I'm not so stuck in my ways that I can't listen to you. That is the positive. The only negative I see is if he does that and it still doesn't work, and Aaron, again, he and Mike, very stubborn.
Yeah.
He's going to go back to what he knows that works for him. Look, just get me in 2-minute situation. Just put me in no huddle. Let me run the offense. That's why Aaron is so great, because we see him in those situations, and he's just special.
Yeah,
it's something about him. It's like backyard football for him at that moment. Like, he's at that moment, he doesn't even signal to both sides of the field half the time when he knows where I'm going to go. Like, he'll signal to this side, and it's like, I see what they're doing. I need you on this. I'll just give you a dummy signal. I'm not even going to really acknowledge it. I'm just going to – because I'm coming here.
Right.
Like, that's how gifted he is when it comes to understanding the game. And Mike McCarthy did a lot to that, to his credit, by bringing in those defensive coordinators to teach Aaron the game in the different defensive looks.
So it's kind of put your arms around Aaron and get him on the same page. And there's no reason to think that there's going to be any kind of an issue. You know, I think that, as Greg said, he knows what Aaron likes. Aaron will express to his new coaches the way he likes it, and then we'll see what happens. The number one question that I've gotten, not just in Atlanta, but here, and even today, I had some stuff earlier this morning, how are the Packers going to look? I just keep saying, wait till September. I don't know, and probably wait till maybe the end of October, because usually it takes 4 to 6 games for this thing to all start to culminate anyway. So we'll figure this out, but I just find it interesting at this point. Real quick, one more from Greg Jennings. He talks about Aaron and what he saw out of him last year, but the extension of plays also can be the double-edged sword. Take a listen.
When you look at Aaron Rodgers and what makes him so special, it's his off-timing plays, meaning what he's going to do after the 5-step drop. How he's going to extend the play. That's when he is at his absolute best outside the pocket. It's like his accuracy goes up a notch. But he also needs the guys on the same page and to be able to uncover. Think about why Jordy Nelson was so good. Why Devontae Adams and he has this chemistry now, because that he keeps moving. He knows – he's been targeted so much now, I kind of know what he's expecting. Right. I pretty much know. And what John Kuhn was alluding to was we would get to the line, and I kid you not, this was our mentality. And you know, you were around
us. I know.
We all felt like –
we're going to win it.
And we're going to win. Like, yeah. It was a matter of –
but it was that talented a group of
yes,
people.
Yes, it was a matter of, okay, I got to be the first one open because if I get stopped up at the line of scrimmage, quarterback's off me, yeah. And he's going to Driver or he's going to Jones or he's going to Nelson.
Right.
Like, that was the competition. It was so healthy. It drove us all to win every time. And when we would watch film, I mean, everyone would win. Like, it was very few times where no one won. Like, very few times mm-hmm. no one won.
That was the way the offense was run, because every guy got open. And if you're still running those same routes and you're running it with one veteran, a guy that then goes down with an injury, and then 3 to 4 rookies, there's issues there. And that's part of the reason that the offense, and we stated it all season long, there's a lot of things that contributed to the staleness of what happened. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back here, Jermichael Finley side of things. Also, just a kind of a reminder here that the Bucks did make a deal today. It is not the deal that a lot of people were hoping for. Anthony Davis is not on his way. But that being said, Stanley traded from Detroit. Maker goes to Detroit. It was a swap, and we'll talk more about that coming up here in just a little bit. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Hey, are you looking for a great place to go and just kind of hang out? They have everything from pizzas to fish fries, a great gathering spot, live music on the weekends. Our friends over at Brewtown Eatery and Bar, 5121. West Howard Avenue, right there at the end of the strip mall. There's a Cousins on the opposite end. I love Cousins subs, so if you're looking for that, stop over there. But nevertheless, Brewtown Eatery and Bar. Walk in and say hi to Norm, say hi to Jill, and who knows, maybe Georgie's going to be over there kind of instigating a few things. Who knows before it's all said and done. It's Brewtown Eatery and Bar, really good food. They've got, I can't wait for the summer so they can open up that patio. But Brewtown Eatery and Bar, good place to go. Also, our friends at Saz's, from baby back ribs and pulled pork sandwiches to the combo platter. You know it, you love it. That's who catered my wedding reception, as a matter of fact. They got a great hospitality group, whether it's a tailgate, a picnic, it's a natural fit, of course. They've got great catering. But Saz's expertise runs the gamut from corporate luncheon meetings from 25 to big fundraisers up to 500. Saz's does it all. Go to Saz's.com, Saz's.com. That's where I go, and hopefully you go there as well. Just following up real quick, Thon Maker for Stanley Johnson. It's an ideal change of scenery for both, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Two former lottery picks, Johnson can work to find a role on a contending team, and Maker will get an opportunity for playing time with Dwayne Casey. So it looks to be a win-win for both, and Thon Maker gets his chance to move on. So if you haven't heard already, the Bucks did make a deal with the Detroit Pistons. Stanley Johnson for Thon Maker. There you have it. We'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit. Now, we were talking about the Packers and their offense. And Greg Jennings, you heard him in the last one. Jermichael Finley talked about the tight end situation and the use of tight ends in this offense after a couple people said, hey, tight ends, you know, they're useless in this offense. Take a listen.
I get tired of seeing the same routine, the same, you know what I mean, consistent. You bring in the same guys, just a different face. You know what
right.
I mean? I think now it's time to go get younger guys. I think it's time to go into the draft and get a tight end. You paid so much money for this guy, Jimmy Graham, and really didn't see no production. And you have a quarterback like number 12 that's back there. You got to take advantage of it. But
yeah.
I haven't seen one guy come in and take advantage of it besides Cook.
Cook?
I like Cook.
And he'll be on the open market.
Yes. I think we should go pursue him because – You'll get a better guy for less money, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So the Packers have three different tight ends. Mercedes Lewis, more of a blocking tight end.
Yep.
Evans Kendricks. He had his drops issues, obviously. And then they had Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Really, the productivity out of that position never came.
Man, and like I said, you got three veterans.
Does that offense need a productive tight end to do it?
Absolutely. You got to stretch the middle of the field. You got to get that to get your running game going and to blow the top off of it, too. Also, same thing Jordy did.
Yeah.
When we play together. But, Yeah, you got to have a guy to cover that middle of the field and to be able to block.
So there you go. That was part of JerMichael Finley. He also discusses how he developed chemistry. If you got to do it, you got to get on the same page with 12. Here's how he did it with Aaron Rodgers.
So we used to meet every night before the game on Saturdays, probably 2 hours out the day that Saturday, and we really didn't even talk about football. We was talking more about family issues and family problems. And then we got to the end of our conclusion of our meeting, and it was more about, now, where are we going to be at on our routes? It was more, then we got to football where we getting that chemistry down, and I just wanted to know what Aaron was thinking.
Right.
And once we done that, I probably had the best time of my career.
Once you figured out what he wanted and where he wanted you to go, could you do it with just a look? If he just pointed or he just kind of gave you a nod, you knew where to go?
Very, very much so, man. If he gave me a nod, we already knew what the nod was about.
How long did it take you to get to that point? Because they've got young wide receivers on this team, and then they've got Devontae and Geronimo now.
It took me
three, four years
to actually get in his head, and you got to gain his trust, because especially he's an older guy,
right.
Like wiser guy, and he knows what he wants. So it's going to be tough for the young guys.
So there you go. JerMichael Finley giving his two cents in all of this as well. And now you start to move forward with Aaron Rodgers and the youth that he has on this team, and then see what they do in the offseason when it comes to personnel moves. But a little bit of perspective from two guys that have been inside the huddle and inside that locker room with Aaron. One guy on the same page, another guy, it took him a while to get on the same page, but those are two different stories. Now how good do you feel? And how much stock? I mean, it's funny because whenever you get two guys that played there and don't play there anymore, everybody always looks at them as some kind of disgruntled employees. We'll get into that discussion coming up as well. Also, thoughts and prayers to, and I hate to say that because it's so cliche, but to the officer that was shot in Milwaukee today. We'll talk more about that as well coming up. More of the Bill Michael Show after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.